Do you sometimes look at your feed on Instagram, see all these beautiful Polish extravagant Instagram reels and posts, and you're wondering how would you ever be able to do that, to keep up with that? The good news is you don't have to. You are not an Instagram influencer. You have clients to see, students to teach. You have a full other life and business after all. If that's you, you'll love today's guest on the show. I'm talking with Molly Cahill about how to feel less burned out and overwhelmed on Instagram, what should you post, and all the things. Molly is a marketing and Instagram coach for health and wellness professionals with a background in public relations. She's sharing so many nuggets of wisdom in our conversation. And she's also genuinely one of the nicest people I've ever met for the show. So let's dive in. Hey there, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanne Reiker, here to help yoga and wellness entrepreneurs build a thriving online business. If you're ready to make a bigger impact and earn money online, you are in the right place. Each week, you learn about websites, digital products, social media strategies, and what's working now to build your online business. And now let's get started. Hi, Molly. Welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast.
Thank you so much. This is like my first time recording a podcast. Somebody who's in a camper van in Spain. No, I've done a lot of podcasts before. Yeah, I've been on a lot of podcasts, but this is the first. This is super cool.
This is like the podcast on the road. We're coming to you from Spain.
Yeah, not me. I'm just in Cincinnati, Ohio, but you're way cooler.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. Can we start by you introducing yourself and telling our listeners a little bit about what you do?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Molly Cahill, and I, like I said, I currently live in Cincinnati, Ohio, but I'll start with the personal side. My husband just got out of the military in June. So we've kind of lived in Florida and San Diego. I'm originally from Alabama. We have a five-year-old, and my former life, I was in outside sales for 9 years. And as you can probably imagine, 6 years of that was medical sales. It was like a lot of travel. It was high stress. It was great money, but it was high stress. And when I got pregnant with my daughter, I was just like, oh, this is not sustainable. I don't want to continue this lifestyle. I was very grateful for that period in my life, but I decided to move on when I was pregnant. And when my daughter was about a year old, I just had the itch to do something again. I wasn't cut out to be a stay-at-home mom. I think that's like the hardest job on the planet. I'm mad respect for anybody who's a stay-at-home mom. And my chiropractor and I were friends, and she was like, hey, do you want to help me with my Instagram? And it just snowballed from there. At first, I started helping her just for trade. And then with her, I was working with her acupuncturist that worked in her office, and then her massage therapist, and then some of her friends. And then it just kind of kept going. And so now I really work with anybody kind of like you, anybody in the health and wellness space. Like, you mostly have a lot of yoga teachers. I have a lot of chiropractors, because you know how it is. Once you get into a niche, it just kind of like people know each other, and they're like, oh, and, you know, people refer you. So but I do have a couple yoga teachers. I have some spiritual, you know, I have some more of like subconscious healers in my group. So yeah, I work with people through two ways. I have one-on-one Instagram management. We have an agency side. And then we also have, I have a program called Holistic Marketing Hub. It's not a course per se, because it's, you get one-on-one support as well through monthly calls. And then you also have like this huge copy and paste content library. So if you're like, I don't know what to post on Instagram, you can probably find something in the content library. There's everything health and wellness related in there. So yeah, that's it.
That sounds like an amazing program. Yeah, I love that. You know, I've actually been an exchange student years ago in Monroeville, Ohio.
No way.
Yeah, do you know that? It's also, I think it's like the tiniest place. Everything was at least an hour away.
I'm not I'm not from here. Just my husband's from the area, and that's how we ended up here post-military. Like I said, I'm from Alabama. We've only lived here for 4 months, but I know that it's close to me. I couldn't tell you which direction. I just know that it's close. What a small world. That's wild.
Yeah, that's so wild. But that was like 88, a really long time ago.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, so, clearly you are proof that yoga does the body good, because you look amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. we have our days, right? Everybody. Mm. It doesn't even matter what age. When I was, I think, in my 30s, I felt so old compared to all the 25-year-olds. So it's weird. Just enjoy where you are. No matter what's your age. And Instagram, obviously, I love that we have filters. I know they're terrible, especially for young girls. You probably don't want your daughter to discover them. But when you're at a certain age, and you just love saying that, when you're at a certain age, they can be really helpful. They give you that confidence to show up. You don't even have to put on makeup. And for me, that was really... Like when I started, I was so shy to show up on video. It was such a big hurdle for me. Mm-hmm. And then, so I started with stories, which was just like 1 minute. Yeah. And it's gone the next day. Yeah. And we have a filter. Okay. I can do that. And that really helped me build up my confidence.
That's a great tip.
Did you struggle with that too? Or is it like easy for you?
I did and I didn't. I have a very extroverted, like outgoing personality. I was a cheerleader. I did like pageants and stupid stuff like that. Not that I wasn't always nervous doing it, but I still, when I first started, was like, this is so dumb. Like, this is so self-indulgent. Who wants to see me talking on the camera? Like, nobody, nobody, I don't think anybody's just like, oh yeah, this is like a normal part of my, I mean, I think probably like for the new generation, it's not a big deal at all. But I think, I'm 36, but even for me, it was like, this is so weird. Like talking to the camera, I feel so stupid and narcissistic. But then eventually you look around and you realize this is marketing in 2022. I mean, we don't have yellow pages anymore or something you could, buy an ad and, this is everybody's doing it. It's not always a good thing to do what everybody else is doing. But seriously, I mean, it is the way of the future. But I love your tip about starting with stories to get comfortable. I'm going to have to use that. I have some other tips as well if we want to kind of start there.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. Let's dive in into all things Instagram. You're the expert here. And I would especially love to talk about really... like so many of my students, of my followers, I see that they're stuck around 1,000 followers, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit less, and mm-hmm. they don't really see results from Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, and then they stop showing up or posting, mm-hmm. right? So what is your approach there? Oh. What do you tell them?
How much time do we have? No, I'm just kidding. So the first thing I always find out, it is, I honestly, I'm trying to think of a time where this was not the case. Whenever I see that as the issue, it is almost always because you're only doing the things that are, let's call it forward facing on Instagram. So you're just doing the posting. I'm posting consistently. I don't understand. I'm posting consistently. I have found in my experience that there are so many things that you can do on the back end, in the background, that don't necessarily scale. And I think that in the online business space, and maybe you disagree here, I don't know, maybe this is like a controversial take on this, but I feel like scale is such a buzzword that is used in the online business space that people just expect that they're going to start this online business and all of a sudden just boom, like it's just going to take off at scale. And I'm like, oh, that's not really how it works. You have to treat your online business just like you would treat if you were opening up a yoga studio down the street. Like you still have to do that relationship building, that one-to-one work that isn't sexy. It doesn't scale, But that's the thing that's actually going to give you results is, like I said, I have a free checklist. I'll give it if you want to link it, but it's just mollycahill.com/scrappy. I call it my scrappy checklist.
That's a great title.
Yeah, because it is. It's just, I think people are afraid when they hop into online business, they think that like the rules of business have completely changed. And in some ways they have, but a lot of the networking and audience building and relationship building is the same as if you were doing it in person.
I know. Yeah. And it's never, I always say tell my clients, it's never about the quantity of your followers. Mm-hmm. I don't even like the word followers really, but let's use it. It's about the quality. And if you would imagine, if you have 500 followers, just imagine them in your living room or in one room, right? And so they're real people.
Funny you say that. Before we hit record, you said something about not being an influence, like you're not an influencer. And I was like, I have a reel about that. And then I also have a reel about that, which you just said about you and I definitely are on the same, like same wavelength when it comes to online business. Cause I feel the same way about, you know, imagine if you were like it's the 1950s and you decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to start a custom pot holder business. And you like start sewing in your basement. And then the next day you've got 6 people out in your front yard who want to buy it. And then you've got 12 people and then you've got 15 people. You would be like, oh my goodness. But when it's that many people online, people are like, it's just 15 people. So that's like the number one thing. I know mindset work isn't always as sexy and people want to just get right into the tactics, but you really have to flip that switch to say like, if you can't serve one to one, you can't serve one to many.
That's good. Yeah. And if you can't sell something like to people who already know you and trust you, you're probably not going to be able to sell it like to strangers on the internet.
Yes. My very first online course launch was 50% people I already knew. And I just was like, hey, I'm doing this thing. Literally just like texting them. I didn't have a funnel. I didn't have like a fancy anything. I just, now I have all of that. But in the very beginning, it was about like, all right, let's make some money. Like, here's this program. I think you'd be great for it. I had no official course platform. My first course I did was live every Friday on Zoom. And that's what people paid me for. And then I just kept those recordings and sold those for a while. And then, you know, I eventually made it fancier. But yeah, you just got to get scrappy sometimes. So usually
that's
when I see people
That's such a good point that you start with creating offers. So many people come to me, oh, my strategy is actually to show up consistently on Instagram and grow to, I don't know, 2,000 followers. And that's not a strategy. It's like, what's the goal behind it? Why would you want that? What do you want to achieve with that goal? And yeah, so if you don't have something to sell, I always say you don't have a business. So that should always come first, I feel. And then
I agree.
Actually selling it, I think that's such a hard point for me actually too. I'm not really great at selling in my stories or I can add it in a caption. So I'm really looking forward to more tips for that here too. But where do you start there? Do you have like a process or like a system? How many stories you should do per week or like to sell something, or how do you mix it up? What do you share?
I think a lot of your marketing depends on your personality type, and I am not type A. So I'm not somebody who follows a rigid system or whatever. I'm very much I'm very much a just like showing up and this is me. And, you know, I just talk about, I used to have my, I used to do launches of my offers. I don't need more. I do think there's still value in launches, and sometimes I'll do flash sales, which is kind of like a launch, but I just think it's so important just to just consistently talk about it because, and I'll get to your specific question about stories in a second, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well. I think in the time we're in now, we're nearing the end of 2022, the last couple of years has become even more saturated with people with online businesses or, and so I don't do TikTok, but like Instagrams and TikToks and YouTube, whatever. And I think people are craving more in-depth, personalized information than just what you can provide going back to what you said, I just want to build an audience. I think people are kind of craving that next step. They're like, oh my gosh, this one post you did resonated with me so much. Like, how can I learn more from you? How can I work with you further? And that's where you know, your offers come in. So, in terms of your stories, I definitely don't have a formula, but I find it so easy to post on stories every day. I have a rule. I try not to work or do anything on my phone on the weekends. I usually just try to forget that it exists on the weekends. But, like Monday through Friday, I'm almost always on my stories because it's just easy. You know, even if it's something that has nothing to do with my business, sometimes I'll still get replies that are like, oh, I've been meaning to message you. It's just stories where it's like your playgrounds where you get to show up and take messy action. And then my friend Shannon calls it the stories test. She always says, like, you get a lot of, you know, DMs or reactions or views, whatever, from a certain story, then you know that that's going to make a really good post or reel. And like you said, it's only up for 24 hours. So it's so low pressure. And now that everybody has the ability to have a hyperlink in their stories, it's great. And then you can always go look. Like, anytime I post a lead magnet or one of my freebies on my stories, I'll go back and be like, cool, I got 2 clicks or 3 clicks, which I know, again, going back to like the people standing in your living room, that might not sound like a lot to some people, but it's a hell of a lot more than zero. So it's just, yeah, it's just like you said, the consistency piece of it. And I'm just always talking about my offer in some way, whether it's directly selling it or some type of social proof, or even I'll even use my stories to make announcements. So for example, what's the name of your program again? I looked at your
Main program is the Blissful Biz Incubator.
That's right. Oh, yes, the incubator. I remember that because it's your year long. So let's say you even use your stories sometimes to make announcements to your Blissful Biz Incubator students. You're like, hey, students, don't forget our call is in an hour and we're going to be talking about this. Even if you only have a few students who watch it, and I mean, obviously, I'm sure you email your students and it's in their portal and all that, but that also provides a little bit of like, oh, what's this program she keeps getting on here and talking about? So the main thing with stories is it's like another, also not even just stories, but Instagram and selling in general is another mindset reframe, which is, I think you're doing people a disservice if you're not talking about how you can give them the transformation that they so desperately are seeking.
That's such a good point. Yes, definitely. And we probably all should be talking so much more about our offers, mm-hmm, and the value, yeah, that we provide with those offers. Yeah. It's just,
yeah. And if it makes you feel uncomfortable, then I want you to lean into why that is. Is it because maybe you're not confident that it works? And if that's the problem, then it's never going to sell. Like, then you need to kind of do some work around that. And I'm sure that's where you can come in with your expertise. maybe it's where you have a beta launch where you give a couple people access, you know, for free just to get their feedback or something. For me now, I'm like 2.5 years into Holistic Marketing Hub, my signature program, and I've seen the results it gets people. So now I have no problem talking. I'm like, it's your loss. Like, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Or it might not even be the right, sometimes it's not the right fit for where they are in business or whatever. And that's fine too. But, I always, another like fun little tip or hack that you can write down if you're taking notes is to teach something along with pitching your offer. So if you feel like, oh, I don't want to get on and just sell all the time, then couple it with something else. Couple it with something educational. So it's still a standalone post without the call to action being to enroll in your program or download your freebie. So like, they're still learning something. So for example, I'm going to give you my top 5 tips for getting more views on your reels. If you want to learn how to implement all of these 5 tips, then you can enroll in my program. So I'm still giving you information. And that's another really good way to kind of get past that. Oh, I don't want to show up and sell.
No, I love that tip. And also that tip for the story. So thanks for that. I been seeing for myself that since I started creating a lot more reels, I'm actually posting less stories, and I also look at less stories. Do you see that too?
It's so funny because it's like, it depends on my mood. I feel like sometimes if I'm looking at more of my personal friends, because I just have one Instagram account. I don't have two. I don't have like a personal and a business, because there was no way I was going to keep up with two. So I find stories is usually where I go more to catch up with people I'm closer to, like friends. You're right. I didn't thought about that until now. I do watch more reels because they're so addictive.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I feel like when stories started, they've been so great because they had that authenticity, and they've been that break from those perfect pictures. Everything was so polished, and, you know, and I mean, that's how Instagram started. And so, and I feel like now that we have so many videos that are so much more real. It's just like different for me right now. It's always easier for me to share a lot in my stories when I'm traveling, obviously, because then I have fresh content every day. While when I was back in Hamburg, it's like every day feels the same. Yeah. I can take like a picture from my computer and then of the garden and of my dog. And
So
every day is like Groundhog Day.
Oh my gosh, I know. That's it. We've actually, well, I won't get into that. But yes, I understand what you're saying. So one good tip, because I actually get asked the whole like what goes in stories versus what goes in reels thing all the time. My rule of thumb is like anything goes on stories. There is no rule. And you can literally put whatever you want on stories. My most viewed story ever was when we first moved into this house and I did like a tour of my house.
Oh yeah.
Nothing to do with me. Yeah. People, nothing to do with my business, but it's still something that people are nosy, and it makes them feel like they know me better, which means they're more likely to work with me and hire me when they feel like they know me better. Reels, really, you want to just have your evergreen content, your, I call it like your core content, the stuff that people could find anytime. It's the people who you want to catch attention of, have no idea who you are. Whereas once they get to your profile, stories are kind of the things that like can take them a little bit more to get to know who, like, you know, you talk about know, like, and trust. I always think of reels as the know, stories as the like, and then trust can come through in your social proof or just even you showing up consistently in any way.
That's I love that everybody has like, I always talk like educating, emotional and engaging content, which is pretty much the same, probably.
I have a, I kind of have a unique way I teach content rotation. I don't know if you want me to talk about that. I have like a content rotation strategy that I've kind of honed over the years.
Definitely share it. Give it to us.
I think it's easier for people, maybe it's just my brain, but it's easier for people to wrap their head around it. So I think everything kind of falls, you know, you hear people talk about content pillars a lot. So to me, content pillars really are effective for like your educational type content. But I look at these kind of six overarching content themes that encompass all of like the know, like, trust. And each of them have their own purpose. So I also have a free download for this that I can give you if you want it, but
we add them all to the show notes.
Yeah. And I'll have examples and stuff linked. So I'll start with the easy one, which is the educational theme. That probably needs no explanation. That's your core content, teaching people something. The second one is engaging, which sometimes this may or may not have anything to do with your business. Its sole purpose is to get likes and comments more than like website clicks or like the things that are actually going to convert more to a client. This is simply the, what I call algorithm juice category. That might be a funny meme. It might be a, I can't help myself type prompt. You see those a lot in Facebook groups. If you're active in Facebook groups, one I do a lot that always, like if my account ever needs CPR and I'm like, ooh, my engagement's down, I'll post, comment the last three things you bought on Amazon, no cheating. And like people can't help themselves. Like they have to respond. So that's my engaging category. I also put like inspirational quotes or like fill in the blank, that kind of all goes there. My third is the social proof theme, which is, you know, reviews, testimonials, screenshots a client has sent you, literally me taking a video showing I'm on this podcast with you, me taking a video showing I'm working with the client, showing you do the thing you do, getting people results. So that's the third. So we've got educational, engaging, social proof. The fourth is community or referrals. So if you're online only business, then you can look at what are some other Instagram accounts in your niche that might be, don't do the same thing as you do, but they're complementary to what you do. And doing a whole post dedicated to just like tagging them and showing, you know, showing who they are and just kind of collaborating with other people. The fifth one is sales. So we obviously know that's a direct invitation to work with you in some sort. And then the sixth one is personal. So that's just like, you know, your fun facts about you, you know, a story about how you're traveling around in your camper van, like all that kind of stuff. So I have found if you kind of make sure those six themes are always incorporated into your overarching content plan, not in necessarily 1 week or just maybe like if you zoom out and look at the whole month, those are kind of all of the little aspects you need to touch on. And some of them can overlap, right? So you could have a social proof post that's also a sales post. I'm not saying they have to distinctly stand alone, but those are kind of all the emotional touch point themes that I have found make a well-rounded profile.
I love that. I think that's amazing. Great tips. So thanks. And yeah, and you said, so there's a freebie so people don't have to write it down.
Nope.
Great. Amazing.
Yes. Yep. I have a whole freebie with examples you can link to and all that jazz.
Do you always plan it out? Do you create like a content calendar or how do you structure?
I think you need to lean into your own personality there. I'm not somebody who, we're up to like 24 Instagram accounts that we manage. So obviously for them, we plan out everything for the month and we make sure we've hit all of those six themes as well as, I didn't talk about your anchors and your anchors are really like, I'm not somebody who likes social calendars with national holidays or national days, because I think that's filler fluff. Like, I don't think it does anything for your brand or, but if it's a national day or holiday that's like relevant to your business, like if you have like National Yoga Day or something, you know, that's what I map out first. Or if you're going to have a special event or something that's timely, I use that as kind of like the anchor. And then we plan those six themes around that. We use Planoly. I don't know. What do you use?
Yeah, I know Planoly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we use Planoly for our clients, obviously in Canva. For me, I usually plan out for people who aren't people who like to plan as much in ahead of time, I always have a bank in Planoly of my more like evergreen core content, testimonial, like stuff like that. That's not ever going to go out of style. I don't know. Style's not the right word. And I have that for the days I'm not really feeling creative. And then, for the days I am feeling inspired and creative, that's when I'll do like hop on a trend with a reel or something like that. But I'm not a big trending person typically.
Sorry, I didn't mute myself quickly because I was coughing.
No, I'm just my whole family's just getting over a cough. So I hear you.
No, I don't. I'm not getting over a cough. It was just like something in my throat. And healthy, thankfully. Thankfully. No, I'm the same. I try to schedule what I post on Instagram every Monday. And so I just sit down, what's my podcast episode of that week? And then I just write the caption. I just start with writing the captions.
Yes. Yes.
And then in the ideal world, I would also film all the videos on a Monday or the reels, but I never get around to do that. And create all the quote images and you know, like in the end, it always ends up to being a little bit spread out over the week. Okay. But it's so much easier when I already have like the captions or the plan. This is like the post for each day, basically. And yeah, so, and of course I, think about like what I'm promoting. When I'm promoting something, I create more content around that.
Like I said, I think it's just really depending on your personality type. I know it would be better if I would plan. I'm kind of like, you know, they say, I don't know if you know the saying, but it's like the cobbler's child has no shoes. We're always working on everybody else's, that I usually don't take the time to implement my own strategies on my own account. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's definitely easier when you do plan things ahead. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something definitely to one day when I'm grown up.
Well,
on Instagram.
People talking about batching out content for 3 months or six. I'm like, no, that's dumb, because you never know what's going to change. You never know what's going to, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you're about to go on maternity leave or something, but
we had that happen, like with COVID hit and something, yes. And the companies were still putting out content, but that was suddenly completely irrelevant just because it's been scheduled, right? So you have to be really aware of that, of things happening.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. That's why I keep like a bank. I use my personal planning for a bank of the safer core content that is going to age well. And I have that ready to go for, you know, days I'm not feeling inspired or weeks I'm not feeling inspired. So I do have that planned and backed up, but I'm not somebody who sticks with a rigid schedule, but there are people who that's how they thrive. So you really just need to do what works best for you.
Do you repurpose content?
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's my biggest life hack, man. It's like,
I do too. And if you don't want to tell them, like, oh my God, I can do that. Yeah, nobody's going to look at what you posted like 1 or 2 years ago otherwise.
And even if they did,
who cares?
Cool. Yeah. You have a super fan. And B, like, the new, you know how they used to say it takes 7 times for people to see something for it to like sink in or for them to take action? I was reading an article in Forbes that said it's now 21 times it takes people. So even if you are posting the same exact thing, who cares? One tip I've been giving people who are kind of feeling stuck in a rut is to create a reel and then make a carousel out of that same exact reel. They're like, I mean, post it the next day. I'm like, post it the next day, post it the next week. Who cares? Like, don't worry that it's the same content, because there's also people who learn, talk about repurposing. I learned this from my friend who's a teacher. Like, everybody has different learning styles. Some people are going to learn from video. Some people need to see it in a graphic. Some people need to, you know, read more of like the caption. So yeah, repurpose it, man. It's easier.
Yeah, I love that tip. I mean, I really love Instagram, and I feel like especially video content is essential in 2022 mm-hmm. and moving forward. It's really essential. It's also one of the best ways to really build that connection, that trust factor with your potential clients. But I also really believe in long form content, like blog posts. I still get traffic every single day on my website for blog posts that I published, I don't know, 2017. Right. Yeah. And nobody looks at a social media post from back then. I didn't even.
And you own that blog content.
Right.
Too.
So, I mean, I probably should start getting more out of that, improve it, share it again. You know, I wouldn't even have to create new content, but creating that content library that's bringing me traffic every single day. People find me on Google, on Pinterest, and that's such a valuable asset for my business.
Yes.
So, So I always tell my students, one piece of content per week. That's like, of course, it's not possible for everybody when you still have a full-time job, you have to see, but that's like the best. And then you use that to then create your social media post out of it. You can create like a quote image, a gallery, a reel, you know, like whatever. So you have that already. It's like your starting point for the content of that week.
Yes. So how does your podcast fit into your content? Do you repurpose the show notes for a blog, or how do you typically like to do work with your podcast?
Yeah. So for the interviews, we normally don't really create like long blog posts. It's like so much work. So, but when it's a solo episode, like every second week, it's a solo episode where I really teach something, and I normally script it. So we have that script already, and then my VA just uses that to create the blog post. And then I use that again to create like reels and all the other content and the newsletter, et cetera.
Yeah, my business coach I work with, she's big on blogging. She actually doesn't even use Instagram or social media at all because she just doesn't like it. But I personally enjoy it. So that's why, you know, I've like met a lot of friends on Instagram. So I love it. That's how I met you, right? But blog posts like that, like you said, I mean, people, a lot of that gets so, or your email list. I mean, gosh, my email list is what's really been my main driver of income. And I had somebody, I was talking about this a few weeks ago on a training, and they were like, email? I thought email was dead. I was like, oh no, you've been lied to. Do you see the same in your business?
No, I don't think I've ever heard anyone saying email is dead. No.
But this was it. Now this is a brick and mortar business. Mm, and so yeah. I wonder if they just see it differently. But I was like, what? No.
No, email is so
really
important.
Bad newsletters.
Yes. No, weekly newsletters are essential. And yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So. It's like what you own. Yeah. I've noticed, I think, especially when the pandemic hit and suddenly all the yoga studios were closed. And so a lot of yoga teachers, they set up their own Zoom classes and they realized how difficult it is to get in touch with students, with people, because they've been mm-hmm. relying on the yoga studios, and the studios own, you know, like they have the emails.
Yeah.
But not the teachers. And then suddenly, oh, yeah, posted on Instagram, but nobody saw it.
Yeah.
Right. So wow. They started, a lot of them really started growing them, building the email list since then. Yeah.
Well, good. So one tip, if we want to talk about email and blog posts when it comes to Instagram, is if you have like a free download you're trying to drive somebody to, again, I always, going back to where I talked about the sales post, always give some type of something educational or entertaining where it's a standalone piece of content, even if they don't take action and go download your thing. So instead of just saying a post that says, hey, I just created this new, you know, freebie with five different breathwork techniques you can implement today for high stress, go download it. Like people are, I mean, they may or may not go download it. What you need to do is you can educate. You could even give one breathwork tip and then say, if you want four more, go download my thing. And then just make it really easy at the, you know, link in your bio or whatever. But, or one thing I like to use a lot are Pretty Links. I don't know if you use that plugin. Are you familiar with Pretty Links?
Yeah. I don't use it, but yeah. I just use redirects. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, same thing. Yeah. So even if, you just want to make it, even if people aren't going to go to the link in your bio, like giving them an easy URL to remember. So like, you know, your, whatever your website is, .com/breathwork. Just so it's easy for people to go find it.
Yeah. Like Scrubby.
Yes. Yes.
I love that. No, they were really great tips. So, thanks for that. So we talked about, the importance of videos, reels, right? Reels are important. Mm. Reels are mm-hmm. important. Stories are important. How much time do you think like an average business person should spend on Instagram?
It really depends on what kind of phase you're in and what your goal is. So in the beginning, if you're in growth mode, then you're going to be doing more. You're going to be spending more time. And that's where you're going to be doing a lot of those tips I talked about on the back end. I have a whole engagement checklist where I talk about, you know, a lot of my time when I'm on the app is spent going to... Now, for me, I'm business to business. So it's easy when you're business to business, like we are, it's easier to go engage with people on Instagram, right? Because they have public profiles. If you're business to consumer, which I'm guessing a lot of your
yoga teacher, you probably are. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot harder to be like, oh, hey, you look like a stressed mom. I need to help you. You know what I mean? It's a very different type of engagement. So what I normally like to recommend people spend their time, if you're going to spend your time on the app, is not just pumping out endless streams of content, but doing what I talked about in the very beginning and going back and creating some of those relationships. So one easy thing you can do is maybe you go find I'm going to use the word influencer in quotes, influencer or somebody who's like really big in your industry, or even like a brand that's really big in your industry. I don't know if you have an example you want me to use?
Brands. I don't know. There's so many, like Aloe Mousse.
Yeah, oh, sure. Like, yeah. So say you would go to their Instagram and be interacting in the comments section. Or if there's like a really big, like I said, influencer type person in your space who, you don't want to go to a competitor's page, but somebody who's not, you know, I work with a lot of functional medicine providers and health coaches. And so I'm like, you know, maybe you go to like Aviva Rahm's page or somebody or like Mark Hyman or somebody like that. Like they're not taking on clients, you know, they've got books and they're like a big influencers now and they don't take the time to respond to all their comments. So like if Dr. Aviva has a post about vitamin D and people have questions in the comments and she's not answering them, you're not taking from her to go in and then give your expertise because she's not, she can't take on patients. Like, you know what I mean? Or clients. So, like I said, the same thing can kind of apply with yoga. Like if people have a certain question in the comments that isn't being replied to, that's when you can kind of step in and be of service there. You can also go to hashtags, like hashtags of your industry. I like to go to the recent posts, not top. And go to the recent post and kind of comment on some things there. And, yeah. And I even sometimes will just go look on click who's following, you know, other people who are, like I said, complimentary in my niche and kind of just like click around there and see who I can find. Or sharing some of those complimentary businesses to your stories are always good and tagging them because then they'll re-tag you. Those are all really good ways to bring, like draw people into your world, your Instagram world.
I love
world.
Those tips. Yeah. Actually, now I know why this other coach is always commenting on my posts.
Well,
it's not because she likes me so much.
Well, again,
well, that maybe they're two, hopefully, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want it to be somebody you can, like, I wouldn't go be doing with somebody like I offer the same services they do, you know?
Yeah.
I'm talking about more like, hey, everyone in my world also loves this brand of yoga pants. I'm going to go comment on their stuff, you know, just like the same complimentary places where your people are hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fine. Well, thank you so much. It was really, really great advice. Super helpful. I'm sure people got a lot out of it. So where can people go to learn more about you?
Yeah. So all the free resources I listed are on my website at mollycahill.com. And that's C-A-H-I-L-L at the very top. I have just like a free, I think it just says free resources or something like that on my website. And then I'm super active on Instagram. So I'm just at Molly A. Cahill. Shoot me a DM and tell me that you heard me here. And I'd love to chat. I'm always in my DMs. I'm always in my inbox.
Thank you. So we add all the links to the show notes as well. Thank you so much for being here. And
thank you.
Really honored that you took the time.
Thanks for having me all the way from Spain.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Blissful Biz podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about how to work with me one-on-one, my courses and membership, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to susannereicher.com right now. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time.